As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Yo, yo, welcome to a post-game edition of the Forum Club. I'm your host, Jovan Buha, Lakers beat writer for The Athletic. And on Saturday night, the Lakers had a finals rematch with the Miami Heat. But unlike the bubble finals, this one did not go the Lakers' way. They ended up losing 96-94. Was the second straight loss for the Lakers and the second consecutive game that they did not reach 100 points. And things are getting a little concerning. I try to keep it real on here. I think I try to be pretty fair and objective, and I think those of you that have been listening to me now for multiple weeks and basically all season, I think you guys kind of understand how I approach things and how I view things. But I do think the Lakers are in an interesting spot right now. They've lost three of their last four games. That stretch has coincided with Anthony Davis's absence. Technically he played in the Denver game, but he did miss the entire second half plus the last 2.5 minutes of the first half. So ended up playing, I believe, only 15 minutes in that game. And, so if you look at that game, you look at the Brooklyn game, you look at the Miami game, the Lakers have lost three games against good teams. Their one win in that stretch is, the Minnesota game. And if you look at the remaining schedule, the next six games, they're very difficult. Washington on Monday, that should be a win. That's an easy game. But then you have at Utah on Wednesday, Portland, Golden State, Phoenix, Sacramento, or at Sacramento to close out before the All-Star break. And we found out before the game that Dennis Schroeder is going to miss the next two games at a minimum. So that would mean he's going to miss Washington, which, hurts the Lakers in that game and potentially makes it a little bit closer. Washington just went into Portland and beat Portland. And then the Utah game, which is a huge game, a potential seeding determining game when we look back at it, at the end of the season, that's an ESPN game. It's a really big game. And Dennis isn't going to be a part of that one either. And then, of course, AD is out for this entire stretch. And, we'll see if he returns if it's directly post All-Star break or maybe if it's another week or so. So the Lakers are in an interesting spot because, the schedule, they have not fared well without AD recently. The schedule is tough. And there's a realistic chance that they go 2-4 or 3-3 over these next six games. I personally view the upside as 4-2. I just don't see... I think they win the Washington game. I think they lose the Utah game. And then the other four, it's probably something like 2-2, maybe 3-1. But I think that's pushing it. I'm probably going to say they go 2-2 over those last four, the Portland, Golden State, Phoenix, Sacramento stretch. And, at that point, right now they're 22-9. They'd be 25-12. And that's just a much different, kind of, I think, record and perception than I think most people were expecting for this team. You know, I think there was, I think not necessarily with Laker fans, but just sort of league-wide, there was some concern of, you know, are they going to kind of rest guys? And is LeBron going to take a step back? And maybe they're not going to be as good in the regular season. But that obviously was not the case to start the year. You know, the Lakers have been the one seed for the majority of the season until tonight. Utah finally passed them for the lead of being in the one seed. But like, you know, this had been really up until the last week and a half, a pretty good start to the season by the Lakers, you know, all things considered. And the past week and a half, things have kind of cratered. And I think, you know, big picture, there's not much to be concerned with. If the Lakers do end up, even if they drop to the 4 or 5 seed temporarily, I don't expect them to end up there. You know, I do expect them to be at worst the 3 seed this season, but most likely a top 2 seed. And even if they end up being a 3 seed, a 4 seed, a 5 seed, I still would pick this team as currently constructed and as the rest of the league is currently constructed over any other team in the NBA in a 7-game series. So I think in the short term, there are some concerns. I do think that, again, they could go 2-4 or 3-3 over the next 6 games. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they go 4-2, they go 5-1. And we look back at this conversation, you know, a week and a half from now, and I have egg on my face and I feel stupid. But I do think there's a realistic chance that, you know, given the quality of opponent and given the fact that, you know, I'd said recently, if you looked at the 6 games that they had played without Anthony Davis, you know, before that Denver game, like the quality opponent was I forgot if it was 5 or 6 before the Minnesota game, but even factoring in the Minnesota game, like the teams that they had played up to that point were all lottery teams, you know, the Bulls, the Pistons, the Thunder, like those are all teams they should beat with or without Anthony Davis. But the Brooklyn game, they got, you know, shellacked. The final score was not indicative of the quality of that game. The Miami game, they did make a late comeback. They had a much better second half. But that was also kind of a weird game down the stretch. And Miami really, I felt, kind of choked that one away towards the end. And you got to give the Lakers credit that they made. I thought they were great defensively, especially in that fourth quarter. They made some big plays, but I also thought Miami kind of shot themselves in the foot. And, you know, it almost cost them the game. Alex Caruso had the game-tying shot that he ended up missing. But I'm going back to last year because it took the Lakers 50 games to get their 12th loss. So they were 38-12. Again, if they end up going 3-3 over the next 6 games, they will be 25-12. It'll have only taken them 37 games to have gotten to their 12th loss. So already we're seeing a bit of a gap from last season and this season. You know, the Lakers have not been as dominant in the regular season. There have been some pros as far as the defense and, you know, LeBron's MVP case. And I think for the most part, the new guys have fit well, right? Like I think they haven't been perfect. You know, there are negatives for all of them, right? Like, you know, Wes's lineup data or Marc Gasol's defense at times and 3-point shooting at times and Trez's defense and, you know, sort of the way he's been used offensively and it not necessarily being the cleanest fit. You know, the Lakers have really had to try to work to find ways to involve him offensively. And then Dennis, you know, I think his shot selection, his 3-point shooting, the turnovers, those have been issues at times. But for the most part, I would say all 4 of those guys have basically worked out as envisioned. You know, I don't think there's been any major disappointment with them. I think in the case of Dennis and Trez, they've been exactly what I thought they would be. I guess you could say with Mark and Wes, there's been a little bit of, you know, age-related regression, and maybe those guys are a little worse than we had anticipated heading into the season. But I don't think either one has been bad. I know Mark gets a lot of flack. I'm going to continue to defend Mark. I actually think that a lot of the defensive mistakes are not his fault and are more related to the help guy. And I think if you actually look at the film, yes, there are times he will drop and switch onto a guard and just get blown by. And that happens, it feels like, you know, 2, 3, 4 times a game. And you know, if the help guy does not help, it looks really, really bad and that guy gets to the rim. But there are also times where Mark is involved in the action and he's not really supposed to stop the ball. Like, I mean, it's great if he can, but there's supposed to be help there. And for whatever reason, that player is not helping. And then, you know, it might look like it was Mark's fault, but it actually wasn't. So, you know, this is a long-winded way of saying that I think overall, there's been a lot of positives this season. You know, I think big picture wise, I'm not concerned, but I am concerned in the short term. I'm not going to lie. I do think that the Lakers are potentially, you know, amid a rough stretch, their first bout of adversity this season. And I would not be surprised if they end up being in the 4 or 5 seed, or at least in the 3 seed, which they're currently in by the All-Star break, which I don't think any of us were anticipating.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
I guess to quickly go over the game, a finals rematch, but only in name because the Lakers didn't have AD. They were missing Dennis as well, and you know, a lot of new pieces on both sides. But LeBron had 19-9-9, was only 7 of 21 from the floor, didn't have a field goal after the 2:41 mark, and only took one shot after the 2:41 mark. LeBron looked a little gassed in this game. He played 37 minutes, played the entire fourth quarter. And this was the first game in a while that I felt he actually looked tired. Kyle Kuzma had what I felt was at least his best offensive game. If not, you know, I didn't have a steal, didn't have any blocks, only had 4 rebounds. So I think he's had more complete, you know, energetic games. But offensively, he became the second guy. You know, he was technically the leading scorer with 23 points, a season high 23. Only shot 8 of 21, so, you know, didn't have a great shooting night, but hit 4 threes, got to the free throw line 5 times. You know, that was encouraging. Wes Matthews was the third leading rebounder with 8 rebounds, 10 and 8. I thought a solid game from Wes. Hit a couple threes, including one late. KCP had a mini breakout with 11 points, 3 of 5 shooting, all on threes. He played much better. And Montrezl Harrell had 18 and 10 off the bench in 24 minutes. This was the most involved he had been in a game since Anthony Davis's injury. And I thought Trez was really effective. Some quiet games off the bench. THT had 5 points in 17 minutes. He's continued to struggle against, you know, defenses scheming against him, and I think adjusting to him. And then defensively got lost on multiple possessions against Heat shooters. Alex Crusoe was 0 points in 20 minutes, which, you know, we don't really expect him to score, but had 4 assists, and I think has actually done a decent job in that sort of point guard role that Frank Vogel has, you know, entrusted him with. And, you know, with Dennis out, with AD out, Alex is arguably the second best ball handler and distributor on this team now. You know, obviously second best passer would be Mark, but I think Alex is, you know, he talked about it after the game, like it's an adjustment for him to be more on the ball, to be more of a distributor, and, you know, really trying to create offense. And I think as a result, you know, you see why the Lakers scored 94 points. The offense has just been abysmal the past couple of games. But, you know, I think overall, I don't have any big picture takeaway from this game because, again, like, it, under normal circumstances, AD and Dennis are going to be playing. So I think everyone, for the most part, is in a overtaxed role. You know, I think everyone's taking, like, Kyle Kuzma is not going to be taking 21 shots in games that matter, right? Like, it's just, you know, unless AD goes down for the season or something, you know, then Kuz might be in that type of role. But if he's in that type of role, I think the Lakers are in trouble. You know, I think, It makes sense why they lost this game. Like, Miami had, they didn't have the best player on the floor, but they had the next 2 best players on the floor. And really, they had the next 3 best players on the floor because Kendrick Nunn had 27 points, you know, to lead all scorers, but obviously still had Jimmy and Bam out there. So I mean, the Lakers are at a disadvantage, and I think they're going to be at a disadvantage against most teams right now. I mean, they're missing their second and third best players and their second and third best offensive players. And I just think most teams, you take away their second and third best offensive players, and you know, the Lakers don't really have a guy, you know, maybe Kuz a little bit, maybe Trez a little bit, THT on like his good nights, but they don't really have that, you know, secondary shot creator now to really help LeBron. And, you know, I think until they get Dennis or AD back, they're going to be in trouble offensively. Like, you know, there's really no other way to put it. But let's get to a couple questions here. Let's get to the open forum part of the show. I think that's all I had to say about the game. Like, again, good defense in the second half, good defense holding Miami to 15 points in the fourth. But, you know, ultimately, you know, and I will shout out the 3-point shooting. The Lakers took 45 threes, only made 13 of them, so 28.9%. But, you know, I've been harping on it, feels like week after week, that I want to see this team take more threes. And, you know, they finally did it, and it didn't work. They still didn't crack 100 points and didn't have a good shooting night. But I thought, and I think it tilted a little bit too much towards the 3-point shooting, you know, where it was almost like anytime there was a chance to take a three, they took a three. So I think there needs to be a slightly better balance. And that's where AD, like, I think if AD and Dennis had played and they had taken the same amount of threes, it would have been better quality threes and just better quality shots overall because of Dennis going downhill and creating driving kick opportunities, or because of AD posting up and kicking out to shooters. Like, those types of looks are higher quality than just the swing, you know, go to the second side. Okay, shot clock's starting to, you know, windle down. Let's try driving kick, but it's not really a driving kick. And this guy's catching the ball with a defender a few feet away, closing out and taking a semi-contested three, and they miss, right? So overall, I would say it's better to take, in this instance, more threes than not, especially for the Lakers, who have been struggling to even get to 30 three-point attempts, which is basically, you know, the league minimum, the bottom of the league. So 45 is encouraging, but I do think that they probably swung the pendulum in the opposite direction a little bit too much in tonight's matchup. But let's get to a couple questions here. Aaron Lubhan, a frequent questioner on this show. Do you expect the Lakers to sign Boogie? And if so, can he fit and give this offense a needed boost? I do not think that Boogie fits. I know there's going to be people that say he would improve the team and it would fit, and he's a center and they need better, you know, especially right now, they need some offense. And, you know, my thing with Boogie is, and look, I'm a guy who pre-Golden State Boogie, you know, pre-injury Boogie, he was one of my favorite players in the league. Like, I have a soft spot for big men. You know, I was a big man when I played. And, you know, I've always kind of had a bias towards bigs. So if anyone loves low post play and, you know, physical play and you know, the stuff that comes with being a big man, like, it's me. I have a soft spot for bigs. So this is to say, you know, Boogie was one of my favorite players, but I think since the version of him we've seen in Golden State, it's just clear to me that he is physically compromised defensively, and he still has the offensive talent. You know, he can still post up, he can finish, he can rebound, he can hit threes, but he is so bad defensively. And I think if you guys think Marc Gasol is bad defensively, Boogie is worse defensively. And he also, I think, comes with, you know, a level of, you know, clearly, while I think there's multiple facets to his release from Houston, you know, there's Houston side of things, there's his side of things. He does strike me as someone who wants to be part of a rotation and wants to have a role and wants to be involved in the offense and take shots. And I don't think that the Lakers have a need for that. And I think that, like, he's not better than Montrezl Harrell. So I don't think he should be playing over Montrezl Harrell. And then if you're saying, you know, he's better than Marc Gasol, I mean, he's going to provide more scoring, but he's not as good of a passer. And he's not as good of a defender. You know, I reject that. You know, if someone wants to disagree, that's fine. But I just think, if anything, there's more risk in adding Boogie. Now, you know, I will say that the Lakers deserve the benefit of the doubt because he was on the team last season, and they know what he was like, you know, in the locker room and around the team and just sort of how that fit. And if they want to bring him back, if they believe in bringing him back, like, you know, maybe I'm wrong and maybe they know stuff that we don't know. But I think the fact that it didn't work out in Houston and just sort of the way his career has been going the last couple of years, I personally have some pause in bringing in Boogie. I personally don't think he's better than Mark or Trez. And, you know, if you're bringing him in to be your third center as pure insurance, like, I guess I'm okay with that. But he just doesn't strike me as someone who wants to be a third string center on a contender. I think he wants, at a minimum, a backup role, if not a starting role. And if that is the case, I do not see that with the Lakers. You know, maybe there's another team. And to be clear, I'm not saying he doesn't have a role in the league. Like, I think there are teams he can help. There are situations that I think he might make sense, but I just think looking at what the Lakers need, like, if the Lakers are signing another big, they need someone who can protect the rim. I think if they sign another big that cannot protect the rim, it doesn't make sense. Because if you're going to have a big who's not going to protect the rim, you might as well have Montrezl Harrell out there, right? Like, or, you know, Mark, who I think can protect the rim, but obviously doesn't protect it at the same level that he used to, and, you know, can be taken off the dribble and, you know, exposed on rotations and stuff. But, I think if the Lakers are not upgrading on rim protection and athleticism and just having a vertical presence in the paint, it doesn't make sense to me. And DeMarcus Cousins is not that guy. So unless they're confident that his offense can get back to all-star level, which I just don't see, you know, it kind of reminds me of like Isaiah Thomas and, you know, kind of what happened to him. And he got multiple chances in different situations, you know, post-Boston, and it just didn't work out. And now he's out of the league. And Boogie was, to me, a better player in his prime and in his peak, and had a, you know, longer sustained prime. So maybe there is something there. And it's harder to be a 5'9 point guard versus a 6'11 center, you know, kind of coming back from injury and finding a role and transitioning to being a role player. So maybe Boogie can do it. I don't know. But I just think with what the Lakers need, it doesn't really make sense. Okay, let's get to a couple more. Aniket Mohan, any concern if the Lakers drop to a 4 or 5 seed in the stretch without AD and Dennis? I touched on that a little bit earlier. I think there's a little bit of concern. Like, you don't want to be the 4 or 5 seed just because of, I think you're just going to have a harder path. But ultimately, I think the Lakers are good enough that it doesn't really matter. I think it just would probably mean they might have some more 6 or 7 game series versus like 4 or 5 game series. But we don't know what the home court dynamic's going to be. We don't know if fans are going to be, you know, allowed back in the arena. We don't know what's going to be going on with that. So I think that it's, you know, it's just too early to say. But again, I think at worst, the Lakers are looking at being a 3 seed overall, and potentially a 4 or 5 seed, you know, in the short term. Ian Franz, when will the pain stop, Jovan? I think the pain's going to stop after the All-Star break. I think that, you know, Dennis will miss the next couple of games, potentially, you know, 2 or 3. AD will miss, you know, the next 4 weeks, which should bring him back, you know, right after the All-Star break, week after the All-Star break. And I think things will go back to normal. Like, this team's going to be fine again. I started off with a bit of a pessimistic note. I don't think, again, that's like a long-term concern, but I do think in the short term, things could get pretty down for the fan base. I'm getting some questions about the threes and why they kept shooting them. Like, again, I think it was Miami was also packing the paint. Like, you know, that's one thing you got to give Eric Spoelstra credit for is he's a really good coach. You know, that coaching staff knows how to scheme. They, you know, have played the Lakers obviously recently. And I think they came in with a really good game plan of we're just going to pack the paint. We're not going to like, I mean, the Lakers only got 38 points in the paint, which I think has to be one of their lowest totals of the season, if not their lowest. You know, I mean, the Lakers kind of walk into 45 plus points in the paint. So for Lakers to be at 38 and to have taken 45 threes, that really shows that was part of Miami's game plan. And I think not having Dennis, who can go downhill in the pick and roll, get out and transition, not having AD, who can post up ISO, you know, pick and roll and just dominate the paint. Like, you know, those are two of their three best, not just scorers, but guys in the paint along with LeBron. So I think the Lakers really missed those two guys in that aspect. And that sort of caused them to, you know, take a lot of threes. Because, I mean, a lot of these threes were open or semi-open. But that was also part of Miami's game plan. I'll close it with this one. Alex U, at Alex underscore U for life. Should we be more careful with LeBron's minutes? The man's playing 36 to 38 minutes, and we could see that he was tired today in the second half. I mean, he says he isn't tired, but we can clearly see that he is. Yes, I do think that LeBron's minutes are a concern. You know, he ended up playing 37 tonight in a loss. That's just too high. And I actually have, I don't want to spoil anything, but Bill Orm and I have a piece coming out on Monday that dives into some of the non-LeBron lineups and minutes and how the Lakers have struggled in those minutes and what, you know, they can do to kind of figure that out. Because looking at it tonight, they were plus 11 in the 37 LeBron minutes. They lost the game by two, which means they were minus 13 in the 11 minutes he sat. And this has been a trend going back to last season. The Lakers were negative in the non-LeBron minutes last season. They've been negative this season. And AD's presence has actually not affected it because most of the time when LeBron is off, AD's on. You know, if you go back and look at the lineup data, Frank has done a really good job of staggering those two. But the Lakers, for whatever reason, have not been able to have productive lineups without LeBron. And, you know, I think as a result, they have relied on him a lot and probably played him a few extra minutes each game that he probably shouldn't be playing. And that is going to accumulate. That is going to add up. You don't want him to lose his legs in March or April when, you know, he's supposed to be playing until July. So I do think that be it resting him a game or just reducing his minutes, you know, to capping it at like 34, 35, 33, Lakers got to figure that out because, you know, and who knows, maybe having a couple blowout losses could help them in that regard. And, you know, you don't, if you're the Lakers, you don't want to lose any games. You don't want to tumble down the standings. But, you know, like a blowout loss in Utah, if LeBron ends up playing like 25 minutes, like maybe that's a good thing, you know, rather than him playing like 40 minutes in a close loss to Utah, right? So I think it's going to correct itself at some point, but it is something to monitor. And the Lakers really have to figure out a way to, you know, kind of tread water in those non-LeBron minutes. And obviously Dennis and AD being out hurts because those are two guys you want on the floor when LeBron is out. You know, now they're throwing together these weird Trez, Kuzma, Wes, KCP, Talen lineups that, you know, just don't make a lot of sense. So it's a challenge for sure. I don't envy Frank Vogel right now, but he's going to have to figure it out. Otherwise, the Lakers are going to continue to drop games and tumble down the standings. So yeah, things are getting interesting, but again, big picture, nothing to really be too concerned with, but in the short term, I am interested to see how they handle the next couple weeks. But as always, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jovan Buha. That's at JovanBuha. If you've not subscribed to this podcast, you could do so on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're not subscribed to The Athletic, you can do so off of Twitter, off of one of my stories, or going to theathletic.com. Thank you guys for listening. I'll be back after Monday's game against the Wizards.